If you're ready to stand on the line, if you're ready to fight back and serve it to the criminals trying to enslave you and steal your wealth through monetary creation and exorbitant taxation, you're in the right place. Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
Hello, Kim John speaking.
Kim, is Vlad Putin. I have calling for RSVP about birthday party for you. I don't know what to bring it. I having some Soviet era warhead. Little rusty, but could be cleaned.
No, I have already. I want Mali compatible individual first aid kit from the PrepperRecon.com. It has everything for traumatic injury. Tourniquet, IBD, quick clot, suture kit, EMT shears, and chest seal. And so easy for bite. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click store tab at the top of the homepage. $89 includes shipping.
Okay, I buy for you. They have many tactical color. Do you preferring coyote, OD green, ACU, or black?
How about you surprise me?
Okay, I make surprise. But don't surprising me with those kimchi rolls again. Last time I eat, I had to leave in G20 early. And other thing, if Rodman wears miniskirt to party, I leaving.
Today's guest is Terry Mulville of Radiant Rocks LLC. Terry, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Mark.
It's great to have you on. Now, when did you first wake up to the need for renewable energy?
About 10 years ago, I was appraised by my local utility that I had an incentive to get a energy audit. First at our business and then at my house. And the energy auditor that came out, we were talking about things, and I said, I don't know about our situation with our supply of oil and this and that. And he said, buy a book written by a fellow, Richard Heinberg, The Party is Over. I bought the book, and I had one of those oh my God moments. If this is true, we're going to be in some challenging times in the not too distant future. So I wanted to go energy efficient and as sustainable, renewable, and off grid as possible, and that's what led me to this point in time.
Well, it's mid March and people are still digging themselves out of the snow in some areas. What happened to global warming?
Yeah, I think we're going into a period of global cooling. I think you had an interview with somebody about that possibility that due to an extreme drop off in sunspot activity that we could actually be going into a period that was a challenging couple hundred years ago called the Dalton Minimum, and even worse than that, the Maunder Minimum of a little ice age. And so apart from food and water, my thought here in Wisconsin is just staying warm in the winter.
Yeah, and not only did we have some late snow this year, but we had a really, really early start. I think the Northeast was getting pounded back last November. How was your winter in Wisconsin?
Our November was really challenging. I think people's eyes, their eyelids raised a little bit like, whoa, we're not supposed to have this till December or January. Then we had some moderation. It came back, and we just got through with some pretty cold temperatures, definitely below the season average. Today it's warmer, and I was listening to a meteorologist who said, brace yourself again for the end of March, early April. And this guy's had some pretty good calls, so winter is not over here.
You're kidding, so you're still expecting more?
Yeah, that's what this guy called. I think back in the fall, he called for a challenging November. He said again, February, and then I think his words were, you will not forget the coming February and March. So we'll see how it pans out.
That's just crazy. And then last year was a really, really bad winter as well.
Yeah. Well, we set record temperatures. I had pipes freeze in my business and commercial property. It was just horrendous. We set records here, and I think that we weren't quite as challenged this year, but it was certainly a pretty cold winter again.
Yeah, last year they had to take the polar bears in at the Chicago Zoo. It was too cold for the polar bears that are supposed to be dying off from global warming.
Yeah, right. I don't think the you can't call it global warming anymore. It's climate change, whatever that means.
Yeah, and I'm very familiar with the peak oil theories, and whether or not we ever run out, it's obvious that to extract oil from the Earth's crust, we're having to spend more and more money and go deeper into the to the Earth and farther out into the ocean to find oil at all. I suspect that there's always going to be oil available at some price, but when it starts to hit $500 a barrel or $800 a barrel, and they're spending $700 to extract it, you know, it's going to become less and less accessible for people. And I think that that's the big problem. And it's something that there's not really an easy solution for. And I think that what you're doing with the masonry heaters and the eco stoves, I think that's fantastic. And I think that this is probably going to be something that, especially if we have the cooling cycle, like you just talked about, and we did have a guest on, and I'll maybe put links to that in today's show notes so people can go back and listen to that, because he had some really interesting facts and figures and about the realities of what we might be facing in the future with the global cooling rather than global warming. So
right.
Maybe we need to get those aerosol cans back out. I don't know. Well, now, besides water, a means of staying warm in the winter might be the most important thing a person could have from a survivalist point of view anyway. I guess a masonry heater would be a really good fit for that, would you say?
Right. And it's the best off-grid system for residential space heating that I know of. It uses, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but you use less wood to produce more heat, which is held in the house and radiated over longer periods of time. So we have people up here who have these outdoor wood boilers, and they have cords and cords of wood, and yes, it will heat the house and it will heat their water, but they go through egregious amounts of wood to do it. And these are much more efficient and much less hassle. Again, a couple of charges a day could sustain a house and maintain a comfortable temperature for most houses.
And then on Prepper Recon, for the people that are listening to the show, they'll see a little picture there of one of the models of the Eco Stove, and it's one of the smaller ones that can be used as an insert into a fireplace, or it can just be it can like a wood stove. It can go straight into the flue, but it's much more offensive, much more efficient. Can you sort of explain exactly how these things work?
Sure. This is actually old world technology. These go back hundreds of years. Believe it or not, I read somewhere that Europe was 90% forested, and so there was a readily available supply of wood for their home construction, their houses, and also for fuel for heating them. But over the years, it became clear cut, and wood became somewhat scarce. And when you got into the 19th century, the poor had to start using coal, which was a cheaper way of heating. Only the wealthy could afford it, and then eventually the wealthy started using coal as well. So those people, you know, hundreds of years ago, were looking for the most practical, efficient way of maintaining a comfortable temperature within their dwelling. And this this technology that's incorporated into masonry heaters was developed. And actually, I read that there were accounts of the trade, masons who constructed masonry heaters. It was so closely guarded, the way that these were fabricated, that they would shoo everybody out of the house, and then they would build the masonry heater so nobody knew exactly how it was done and couldn't be replicated. It was a pretty tight trade. And so it's a technology that's been around for hundreds of years in Europe and Russia. Mark Twain commented on it when he traveled Europe in his whimsical way as to how even the heat was, and it's a more steady, consistent heat, unlike a conventional fireplace that the heat is convected out, so you've got tremendous stratification between the room temperatures at the ceiling versus the floor temperature, or the temperatures at armchair height. There's little to no stratification when you're talking about irradiated heat. And it's somewhat like up here in Wisconsin, if you go out on a nice, bright, sunny day in January and stand in the sun, you can actually feel warm because the sun's radiant energy, the electromagnetic waves coming from the sun, warm you. They don't warm objects. They warm objects, not the air. You stand in the shadows, stand behind a tree, the air temperature is the same, but you're noticeably cooler because the sun's radiant energy is missing you. And it's the same concept, the same electromagnetic waves that are emitted from masonry heaters and this appliance that we're pushing, the Eco Stove, which is the same as a masonry heater on a smaller scale, but it's much easier to incorporate into an existing home because of the need not to go back and retrofit the house to the extent that you do. So anyway, a masonry heater will use, and a silicone carbide heater that we market will use a half to two-thirds as much wood, that much less wood, and it will extract most all the heat. If the firebox temperature is 1,500 to 2,000 degrees in a masonry heater or the Eco Stove, the flue temperature is typically about 300 degrees. And the difference in the temperature has been absorbed by the appliance, the Eco Stove, and is slowly released over time. An interesting fact, Mark, about wood. There's a couple components to a wood log. There's the solid part of the log, which is actually, when it's burned, less productive than the potential from gaseous volatiles that are typically boiled off. You need to hit a threshold of 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit in the firebox to incinerate not only the solid part of the wood, but the gaseous volatiles. And again, I refer to these outdoor wood boilers that just kind of puff away at a low firebox temperature. You pass them when you drive by and you see this tremendous amount of blue smoke coming out of the smokestack. That's unspent fuel. And if you had gotten the firebox up to that, say, 1,500 degree Fahrenheit temperature, you burn off the smoke, that blue smoke, as well as the solid part of the wood. Now, there have been accounts of people who will ask their neighbor, well, you just put in this thing called a masonry heater. When are you going to use it? It burns so completely that you don't see an exhaust or smoke coming out of it. So I guess we've got some birds and dogs going on. Anyway.
Love the pets.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of the concept. To carry this a step further, masonry heaters and the Eco Stove, the silicone carbide version, burn so cleanly that the emissions are well below the EPA threshold. I think initially the EPA mandated wood-burning appliances emit no more than 8 grams of the carbon and the particulate matter per hour. Then they lowered it to 4. The Eco Stove silicone carbide heater emits 2.1, and it makes sense. It's burning everything, and there's hardly anything left to leave as unspent fuel. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And it makes me think about, you see a lot of times you'll see almost the Thomas Kincaid type of a log cabin where it's this beautiful log cabin and it's got the nice stone chimney that's on the outside of the house. And you think about all the heat that's just blowing out the chimney. And then also, here, half of the, or probably three quarters of the chimney is actually exposed to the outside. So you're really just basically trying to heat the woods.
Right. You're transferring the heat out. The ideal location for either a masonry heater or the Eco Stove silicone carbide heater is in the middle of the house. But we have had studies done for the EcoStove as to the its availability in transferring or eventually moving the thermal energy, the warmth, throughout the house. And there's been extensive testing done by the University of Birmingham in England that shows the relatively even production throughout the day, the amount of wood that it takes to attain that, and the temperature within the house. And so that's all available on the EcoStove website for people to research. It's also been tested. The EcoStove has also been tested here in this country by the Omni testing labs for emissions. And so all this is certified and compliant as far as the EPA is concerned.
Well, that's good, because the EPA has really been cracking down on everything, even wood stoves lately. I guess because of all the global warming we had this winter. But if that were true, it seems like we wouldn't really need a wood stove, and we wouldn't really need those regulations.
Right.
And like you said, these systems are EPA friendly, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're at half of the EPA mandated threshold for maximum particulate matter grams per hour. The EPA says 4 grams per hour. We're at 2.1. And the reason we're so low is we're burning everything, the solid part of the wood and the gaseous volatile. So you're getting a much more productive combustion incineration from a log than you would have otherwise.
And it sounds like a really good heating solution. I wonder why everybody doesn't have one of these.
Yeah, well, they're new. The masonry heaters, again, have been around for hundreds of years. Actually, I think the Roman baths were considered a form of a type of masonry heater, where they build the fires underneath the floor of the bathhouse, and the heat would radiate up. The EcoStove it uses silicon carbide, which is one of the hardest materials known to man. It's great for heat retention, that is absorption. And again, now it's somewhat easy to retrofit into your house. I put one in my house a few years ago, and I just exhausted it right from my main level through the bedroom, through the attic, and out. So it's out in the open, and does a really good job of keeping us warm on cold days.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out silver.com today.
Are you prepared to defend yourself and your loved ones in extraordinary circumstances? Do you know the one piece of gear Special Operations soldiers rely on to gain an unfair advantage in the field? Are you interested in honing your firearm skills based on lessons learned in actual gunfights? In desperate times, ready men rise to the occasion and come out on top in difficult scenarios. With 73 years of Special Forces experience, the Ready Man Cadre blends cutting-edge tactics with the most current prepper skills into each online episode and live training event. Go to readyman.com to learn more and sign up for a free Special Forces-designed hostage escape card that you can easily carry and defeat locks, cut through ropes, and pick your way out of handcuffs. Again, that's readyman.com to sign up for your free Special Forces-designed hostage escape card.
Now, if somebody was building a house from the ground up, they'd probably want to go with the traditional masonry heater. Is that correct?
Well, assuming you have, well, I don't know, anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 to throw at this, I have the largest model of EcoStove. It's referred to as the Model 850. They retail for $9,300. That shipping would be on top of that, depending upon where you are in the country. But here, in the Midwest, or actually I think they're in Kansas, the warehouse, it's $9,300. So yeah, then there's the newer model. I think it's the 780. There's the model 678. I have that, in our showroom. I think that, well, I'm not going to quote a price. I just can't be certain. And now there's the 580, which would be perfect for a smaller dwelling.
Now, Terry, like you said, you've been using this technology for a little while, right? And you're pleased with it.
Right. I typically have my thermostat set at 62 in the house, and the house, we've had some brutal winters, brutal winter days here, and I'm 68 to 71. I feed it a little bit more than normal, but I'm probably heating, I don't know, 3,000 square feet. And I've used maybe 60% of the amount of propane that my tank will hold. So there's a lot of variables. Okay, what kind of wood am I using? How often do I fire it? But I think that if we were grid down, I don't miss it as far as space heating.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't freeze. Now, where can folks go to learn a little bit more about this? And for the folks that are going to want to purchase one of these, because I know we've got a lot of listeners up in the Pacific Northwest, Inland Northwest, how can they get one of these?
My company, Radiant Rocks LLC, is based in Berlin. My store number is 920-354-6260. And then I can be reached at Terry at masonryheaters.us or Terry at radiantrocksllc.us, or start with a search on the EcoStove website. It is ecostoves.com. They are based in the UK, and there's an extensive amount of information, pictures of all the units, the testing that's been done.
And then they can go to ecostove.com, kind of look at the pictures, kind of get an idea of what the stove looks like, how it works, and do the research on it. And if it looks like something that's going to be a good fit for them, then they can contact you, because you're going to be the retailer for the U.S. for that.
I don't know if I can say the whole U.S. Right now.
But for your area. But they'd be able to order from you.
The upper Midwest, and I'm going to try to work with some people in Illinois. So, I guess I'm the local distributor dealer in this area. So EcoStove, and Eco is spelled E as in Edward, C as in Charlie, O, S-T-O, V as in Victor, E.com, EcoStove.com, Eco with two C's. And be sure to check out the EcoStove models. If you click on just the link that says EcoStove models, it'll give you a real good representation of how the smoke path of the exhaust is channeled through the unit, expels the heat into the unit before it leaves the outside, and I think that tells the whole story.
Terry, thanks so much for your time. It's a lot of great information you've given us.
Thanks very much, Mark, for the opportunity to convey this.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.